Tonight's scripture reading is from Mark 4, 35 through 40. And the same day, when the even has come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?
Thank you, Jeff, for that good reading of the scripture for tonight. And you, Brian, for leading the songs, and what a good service, song service it was. We're glad to have that kind of a push off whenever you're preaching, I suppose. And we welcome everyone tonight, visitors especially. We're glad to have you. I thought, by way of introducing this lesson, that I would relate an incident that occurred back several years ago. When I was teaching a class on human relations, and this one young lady, 21 years of age, during her 2-minute window that she could tell of an incident in her life, got up, and before she finished the two, she was already tearful. And we finally got her story, and her story was that she was so have everything in life that she and her husband, they were married, and she said, I was sitting up in the middle of my bed the other night crying, and he wanted to know why, and she said, well, as good a life as we have, there must be something that's going to happen. There's going to be something that we're just going to happen to us. Nobody can have this much in this life and still nothing happened to them. In other words, she was talking about how much prosperity they had as an individuals. And the next thought with me is Brian this morning in his class, we were talking toward the end of the class about prosperity, what people have. I've always believed that prosperity is much more dangerous than poverty. Always, because prosperity says, I'm great. But that is the entrance to this, and the title of the lesson is, When the Storms of Life Are Raging. And we ask you that question, what is the storms of life? Well, you could give any definition to it, I suppose, that you would like. But the storms of life are simply those things which either happen to us or which we cause in our lives here upon this earth while we're living here. It's the difficult times in our lives. They may be brought about by ourselves. They may be brought about by someone else. And this passage that we selected here is only one of many in the New Testament, and especially in the book of Acts, that reveal to us just what we're talking about when they talk about storms of life. And also, I have another item here that I want to share with you because it's what got me thinking about the lesson on the storms of life. It's actually the verses from a song that was written back in 1905 by a black gentleman. Some said he was writing a hymn. But at any rate, I want to use the items in the verses of this as sort of a peg to hang this lesson on, if there be any good that you can find in it when we finish. The title of the song is Stand By Me. Now, you may be thinking, well, that only goes back about 20 or 30 years. Well, this has been changed in so many ways because it's public domain back for many, many years. And the original, the title that this old gentleman gave it when he wrote it, was Stand By Me, Father. Obviously, the expression Stand By Me is an effort on the part of him to better himself with God and with his son, Jesus Christ. So listen as we share this with you. When the storms of life are raging, now if I sort of break into notes here, I have a CD that's got it on it in the car, and I love to listen to it because it fits every human being. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. And when the hosts of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends don't understand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who saved Paul and Silas, stand by me. When I'm proving old, or when I'm growing, see, when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden, and I'm nearing Chile Jordan, oh, thou lily of the valley, stand by me. And so we're going to be looking at this lesson tonight as if we're asking God to stand by us. The text, of course, from Mark chapter 4 is recorded also by Luke, the physician, at other places. In fact, there is many places that this kind of a story is told. And Jesus that day had been teaching his apostles. He'd been teaching them with parables. Most all of us know, if we studied the Bible at all, that the parable was probably the most favorite item or manner in which Jesus could teach. Someone has read and counted it, I suppose, that probably over 30% of his lessons were in parable form. And a parable is nothing but a story. Stories are told by people in every generation, everywhere. And Jesus merely took the things that they observed as they went about walking with him and him teaching, And he would make observations and comparisons about the lesson that they got could get from what was going on around them. And that's what he was come to when he noticed this in his disciples. Verse 33 of that passage that we began with a while ago. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. And on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. That's how come them to be in the boat. That's his manner of teaching. Some tremendous lessons are taught in the lives of the apostles directly to them, first of all, and by them and through them to us. Realize, folks, that the matter of Christ's teaching was done by a chain of authority, which began with the Father in heaven, the Son that was sent to earth, the Holy Spirit who came and helped along the effort by teaching and telling them what they should be writing, what they should be delivering to us. So as Jesus had been teaching parables that day, and this one particularly one was on the Sea of Galilee. And just an item about the Sea of Galilee gives you some idea about it. It's 13 miles north to south, 6 miles west to east, east to west. And it's 1,500 feet deep. And that's the sea that oft times storms would arise very quickly. And people would be caught on the sea. It's a very, very freshwater sea. It was a good fishing sea, I understand. And so the great windstorm arose. Well, they were there. No indication that that was to be expected. In fact, storms on that sea, according to what I've been read about it, the storms on that sea could rise very quickly because of the geography of the terrain just north of there that came down off of the mountains. And so this great windstorm rose. It wasn't as small, yet let's go to shore. We're kind of getting a little bit of a wave here. I have to think about Canada, the Northwestern Territories. Back when I was in the Air Force, and we took a fishing trip all the way up to the very northern part of Canada, in fact, just over the land, to fish. And we went to a lake that we had been told about, and that lake was as clear as a crystal. You could look down if you were out in a boat. You could look down at it. It seemed you were maybe looking for 10 or 12 feet, it'd be 100 feet deep. And we went out early that day. Well, the morning, everything was fine. The lake was calm. And that morning, about 8 o'clock, the wind started blowing. The sun was up. The wind started blowing. And it started blowing harder. And the waves kept getting higher. The four of us foolishly had taken a 14-foot fishing boat with us and a 7-horse motor, aluminum boat. And there were vessels that were 25, 35, 40, 50 feet that were going into shore. And I just knew we were going to go under before we got there. That was the way. It was our experience on that clear lake. When we got to shore, some of the fellows there told us, he said, oh, well, he said, you should have known that. He said, that happens every morning. We were there 3 mornings, and it happened every morning. We needed a deep sea rig to go fishing there, and we didn't know it when we went up. But anything can happen on a lake, a river, stream, in that way. The boat began to fill with water, and Jesus was asleep when the apostles woke him. He calmed the wind and the sea. Wouldn't it be amazing if Christ could walk with us here today? Wouldn't it be amazing to be able to walk with him like the apostles walked with him? And having the benefit of the New Testament as it's been delivered to us, we would probably think as we read it nowadays, well, I wouldn't be worried about it. Jesus was with me. I reckon we would be worried about it, folks. We're human beings. Now, Jesus, when they awoke him, he calmed the wind and the sea, and then he challenged their faith. Now, folks, the lesson we're studying tonight, when we're talking about the storms of life, we're talking about the measure of the faith of us as individuals. That's the heart of it. There's a lot that goes with it, but that's the heart of it. And I say that because I, on different occasions as a preacher, would have to listen to a young couple lose a baby in death and ask the question, why? Why did they have to? And I've also heard the age-old idea, you know, why God? Where are you at? Where were you at when my child was dying? The answer for that has been given as, well, same place you were when yours died. And so much can be given to us in this manner. A great windstorm came. The boat was filled with water. Jesus was asleep. The apostles woke him, and he calmed the wind and the sea. And then when he challenged their faith. And that, of course, was one of Christ's miracles. Purpose of this miracle, John chapter 20, verse 31, 32. Many other signs truly did Jesus that are not written in this here. But these are written that you might believe that he is the Son of God, and that believing you have life through his name. Many other signs Jesus, John wrote. Many other signs. And it was, you read the four accounts of the gospel, and you know that there were many signs, many miracles. And they, for the express purpose, those who Christ performed, which Christ performed, were the express purpose of demonstrating and proving that he was the Son of God. And those miracles that were performed by his apostles and others to whom they had given the ability, it's for the express purpose of proving what they were teaching, which was the message the Holy Spirit in Christ gave them. That's what they were for. So we, in fact, have everything that anyone else has had from the time Jesus Christ was born into this world. We, through the written word, have what they had in first manner. Well, there's some lessons that we can draw from this incident. From his teaching regarding the incident, it was a great storm. You find that in the New Testament or in the Old Testament either, for that matter, folks, things aren't given in halfway manner. They were presented in the right way. Jesus, it said a great storm. That means that it wasn't any little few waves that we were talking about a few moments ago. It was not expected, obviously. And there were other people that were involved in this storm. And so as we look at these storms of life, some storms of life are of a general nature. By that, all people may be affected by them, such as a great storm or hurricane or something like that. And others may happen because of the personal issues a person takes. For example, nature is the source of a lot of storms. In our lifetime, however long we've been living, have we read and heard and seen the result of the hurricanes that have destroyed large measures of people and property and everything? If you ever walked through a place where a tornado has has stripped away the property. I remember on one occasion in Henderson, North Dakota, Henderson, Kentucky, actually. There was a windstorm came through there. Not a tornado, not a hurricane. It was simply called a windstorm. And there was a public park, state park, John James Audubon State Park, there in the city limits of that town almost. And that windstorm took away huge oak trees. Now this was in the woods. There wasn't there. It was all 490 acres of nothing but woods and a few trails that had been fixed to walk and to hike. And there were trees, oak trees that had been there, I know, 150 years because they must have been at least 2 feet through in the trunk. And some of them had limbs that were bigger than the trunks on other trees. They hadn't been expecting that. The people were involved. These of a general nature, all or many are affected, and then the society in which we live is the source of many life storms in the world around us. Life itself in our day and time is very difficult in this country, in the Western world, and in the Eastern as well. In fact, all of it, because of the culture we find ourselves living in, especially here in America. And it's very difficult to live life without many storms. Now, some of life's storms are caused by personal reasons. If I become a user of drugs, by my own choice, then I caused it. You see what we're saying here? The personal ones are the ones that we talk about ourselves and those perhaps that are brought up on us by other people. We're taken with a deadly disease of some kind. We lose our job. We are involved in an accident. Sometimes we try valiantly to drive your vehicle between the ditches and bring about that storm. Folks, we might lose our job, as we've seen. In fact, in our family, job had been lost at least 2 or 3 times for no other reason than we were refused to go along with what the company that was working for wanted to do because it wasn't according to what Christ wanted us to do. So we do lose our job sometimes. Beyond this, I would call your attention to the Apostle Paul because when we think about storms of life, as far as the individual is concerned, I don't know of anybody that we could look at for a pattern any greater than the Apostle Paul. The book of Acts, especially, after the beginning of the eighth chapter, we meet Paul. And the rest of the book of Acts has to do just about with him as well as others. And over in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that Paul wrote in the form of a letter to the Corinthian church that he had worked in for so long, and we have record of it, he is talking to that church about the Israelites that were giving them trouble. And they were trying to, in many places in the book of Acts, you find that these people, these Jews, were trying to discredit the Apostle Paul. And here he's talking to them and trying to make them understand what he is. And he said in verse 21, to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that, but in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes more above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, and 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of this in the city, and in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and among false brethren, and in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor, under Artaxerxes, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the hall wall and escaped with his hands. And you see, people tried throughout the record in the book of Acts to kill Paul. He was a very forefront individual in Jewry at that time, or in Israel, at that particular time. So, there's all kinds of storms, as Paul indicated to us here, and probably in double or triple digits. There can be storms of sorrow, worry, anxiety, pain, need, rejection, adversity, pain and grief. Pain sometimes is double. And storms of mourning, storms of loss, whatever it may be. And so storms are ever with us, folks. And I've always, after hearing this little cliche, think about it. And that is, when you're looking at other people, we have to remember, we may be critical of them, but we have to remember that sometimes the heart is burdened to the look and can't bear the load. So we don't ever know. Many times these burdens that people are carrying around us, even in this audience tonight, and it's not the thing that other people should know, perhaps. It's not a matter of that. We're not talking about invasion of privacy, but we're talking about the individuals that you have around you. They may have something going on in their life that you or I couldn't even deal with. And I have to tell you, if you've been here, if you wasn't here 6-7 years ago, you wouldn't have heard this, so I'll tell it. That Sunday morning, one Sunday morning, a lady where I was preaching full time at the time, named Jean. Jean was a very lively lady. She and her husband had children, teenagers. And she always smiling, always laughing, always friendly. And one morning, on Sunday morning, she came out and just walked right on by. And the next Sunday morning, she did the same thing. And so I caught up with her, and I said, "Jean, is there some problem? You know, me as an individual and everything. Well, you know, maybe she don't like me anymore. Maybe she don't like my sermon, whatever." And I said, Is there something wrong? And immediately, tears began to fall. And she said, there's something that happened in our life, our marital life, that it's one of those things that you just don't want to happen. And she explained that to me. And certainly, I don't know of anybody in that congregation that morning had any greater burden to bear than Jean did. So let's remember that we're always going to be with storms within and without. And the storm may not be anything except dreading to go to the dentist. Except unless you got the right good dentist in Zwang. They're ever with us, and we may or may not know the source. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Do not hesitate to ask for help. We can awake Jesus in our life. Calming the storms is what Jesus does. And so it takes us back to the verses in that poem that we read in the beginning. And we can also go to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. In other words, help me, Lord. Help me as I age. Help me as I age gracefully. Help me when my child has been lost. You think about the things that we hear every day that's happening. All of these are places where there are storms that are doing damage in the lives of people and in ours as well. Well, anyway, when the storms of life are raging, stand by Him. Stand by Christ. Talk to Him. One of the best pieces of advice I've ever given to people and who needed help was talk to God. Talk to God. Reach the point where I can't perhaps help in any way. Just say, Lord, talk to God about it. And they keep on saying, well, you know, I say, talk to God. You aren't hearing me. Talk to God. And that's what we need to do. Because Jesus has promised wherever we're at, He'll be there with us if we'll let Him. And there are also friends and neighbors and loved ones who will help us in whatever degree that we can as human beings help each other. And yet we know for a fact that while God physically or literally hears anybody's prayer, whether they're a sinner or not, they know that He existed, that God will hear us if we'll only approach Him, if we'll only ask Him. He does that by appointment too. Jesus Christ is seated on the right hand of our Father in heaven. And He gave us an appointment with our Father that we can go to Him anytime, any place. And ultimately, that's where we're going to be, is with Him. But we need to obey the gospel. That's the reason that His Son died on the cross and delivered to us that gospel, which is good news, which is the gospel of Christ. And we thank Him for sending His Son. He bought and paid for us on the cross. What a terrible, terrible thing happened to an individual. You know, in order to become a child of God, we have to obey the gospel by believing, confessing our belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and also by repenting of our sins, confessing Him, and then being buried with Him in baptism. Rise to walk in newness of life. All of your sins have been washed away. Revelation 1:5. Or you may be an individual who has been a member of the church or are a member of the church and they've just drifted away. We can help you too. Christ provided the way, if we confess that, to help us back. So if you need to be restored, if you need the prayers of the church, if you need to be baptized tonight, now is the time. As together we stand and sing.